Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. I am delighted to have Dr. Merit Sutkovich as my guest again. This segment is part of an ongoing series of interviews called Brain Matters, and we're exploring different aspects of brain health. The last time Merit was here, she shed light on clinical trials in ALS and helped me to understand the difference between clinical trials and just random experiments. She's one of the founders and former co-directors of the Northeast ALS Consortium, which is called NEALS. It's a group of over 100, 150 clinical sites in the US, Canada, Europe, and the Middle East, and they're dedicated to performing collaborative, academic-led clinical trials and research studies in ALS. Welcome back, Merit.
Thank you for having me back.
Before we jump in, I want to spend a little time on brain health. How do you define brain health?
Brain health, first of all, is a really exciting new area. And I defined it as the health of the part of your body that is really defines you, your personality, your thinking, your ability to do all the things that are important to you. And keeping your brain healthy allows you to keep being you and to keep functioning and doing all the things that you want to do. It's kind of a vague definition, but it is a new area of research, and it's so important to figure out how to keep people's brain healthy.
So you've been looking at the brain for a long time. You've been researching this for many, many years. What can we, just regular people, use or do to protect or promote our brain health?
I think that everything that we know about that keeps one's heart healthy also keeps one's brain healthy. And there might be other things that we're going to learn that keep the brain healthy, but we know that exercise, good diet, sleeping, social interactions, learning new things, those are kind of things that you someone can have some control over that can promote your brain health.
That's interesting. Supplements, vitamins?
So people are studying whether some vitamins can help your brain health. But right now I'd say that we don't have great data on which might help or not.
Okay. I want to switch gears a little bit and go from brain health to brain diseases. I think we need to acknowledge the fact that there are a lot of brain diseases, dementia, Parkinson's, epilepsy, ALS, and so many more. I think sometimes we get stuck when we hear brain disease and think Alzheimer's, dementia, but there's a lot more, correct?
Oh yeah, there's over 600, but not, if not more, different diseases.
Wow. Do you believe any of them are really and truly curable?
Absolutely. I hope they're all curable, but the last couple of years have been transformational in seeing some diseases we thought were not treatable that are treatable and curable. Spinal muscular atrophy is one example.
Okay. Say it again.
There's an illness called spinal muscular atrophy.
Okay.
That's an illness of children that unfortunately they used to pass away by 2 years of age. There's now three drugs on the market that are transformational. These children are living and looking normal, and it's something I don't think we thought possible, but it's possible.
And that came out through clinical trials and research, that treatment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Gene therapies, yeah.
So are there any other diseases or disorders that you can point to that in the last few years have either been cured or you got better treatment for?
Yes. Stroke is one of them. The ability to see patients quickly who are developing stroke and to give treatments that get rid of the cause of the stroke, blood thinners or to remove the clot, have changed the outcome for people with stroke. We still have a lot more to do, but it's really made a huge difference on stroke care. We have a couple new drugs now for Alzheimer's disease. And now they're not curative, but they're giving people more time at a better cognitive state. So it's a step forward. These are just two examples.
So I know your focus is on ALS. That's your passion. Has your research led to any new treatments that weren't available 10 or 15 years ago?
About a year ago, a new treatment came on the market for one of the genetic causes of ALS. There's a gene called SOD1, and if people have a mutation in that gene, they get ALS. This treatment is transformational. It's the first time in my 30 years taking care of people with ALS that I've seen someone not just stop progressing, but get better. So
Really?
that, yeah, it's amazing. Now, not everybody, about 40 to 50% of people who get that treatment have that huge effect. But it tells us it's possible that the closer we can get to the cause of some of these brain diseases, the more likely the treatments are going to be really, really hugely effective.
So this is a
So,
new treatment. It's a novel treatment. How do people find out about it? If their neurologist isn't on cutting-edge treatments, how do they learn about it?
that's such a good question. I think that there's a couple sources. One, there is the American Academy of Neurology that has information on each of the different brain diseases. There are foundations that, like the ALS Association, that would have information on their website. There's ALS like advocacy groups. And I think for a lot of diseases, there are advocacy groups that have this information as well. But it is a challenge in general, medicine, of how to get the information, make sure everybody knows their options if perhaps they don't live next to, a major academic hospital.
So, is there anything on the horizon that you're excited about that you can share with us, especially in the treatment of ALS? Something.
There's over 300 companies working on ALS right now, and the drugs are targeting different parts of biology. But I'm excited about them because a lot of them are getting very close to, I think, what some of the causes. And that's why we developed this platform trial approach, which is a way to test many drugs in the same kind of system and get answers faster. I really hopeful in the next couple of years we're going to see a lot of treatment options for people living with ALS.
You just talked about testing faster. So how many years does a study take? Like, you've been doing studies for many, many years. How many years does it take to get through a study and get a treatment approved?
Depends a little bit on the disease, but for example, in ALS, it might take 2 years to do the trial, the pivotal trial that tells us whether it works or not. And that's a long time for people living with a serious illness with it, like ALS. So lots of research is ongoing on how to speed that up. And so the platform trial approach is one way, but developing blood or fluid markers that can predict success is another way. I compare that a little bit to like cholesterol. So if your drug lowers your cholesterol, it's going to also prevent or decrease the risk of stroke and risk of heart attack. But now you only have to test the drug for a couple months to see if it lowers cholesterol. You don't have to do a years-long study. In brain diseases, we need to develop more of those short-term biomarkers.
That's interesting, very, very interesting. Because I think there's a thought that it's going to be 10 years, 12 years, 15 years before a treatment is approved. So that's good. I'm glad to hear that. One of the things that you've been successful doing is creating collaborations. You mentioned that briefly in our last interview. We just talk a little bit more about the ways for patients, researchers, physicians, people who want to do advocacy, how can they all work together?
First of all, I believe firmly that that's how we're going to find these cures is by really bringing in all the stakeholders and the ones you listed. But also, I the people from the FDA or from the government, so that we can, accelerate funding approvals. So I think for someone living with the illness, often the way to get involved is through the foundations or groups like the American Brain Foundation or Academy of Neurology. Doctors are always looking for people living with the illness who want to become involved. And so we can learn from you, but they can learn, also we can teach about research as well.
Okay. You just mentioned the American Brain Foundation, and I know you serve on their board. What kinds of research do they fund, and how do they get money to fund research?
The American Brain Foundation supports a young physician scientists and in training grants. Those are amazing training grants to really attract and keep the smartest people in neurology developing treatments. They also focus on particular disease every year. So for example, they have a big fundraising effort and grants around Lewy body disease, and now they're also interested in diseases of inflammation. They raise their funds from directly from people and philanthropy and from some corporations, but it's so important, and they really support great research.
So individual donors, so like me, I can write a check and okay.
Absolutely, yeah. Individuals as well as if you, sometimes people have where they work somewhere where they can do a matching program. Every dollar helps.
Okay. So what would you say to make a person want to give?
We're really at the cusp of understanding different brain diseases and how to keep your brain healthy. Where the field isn't short of ideas, but people, they're short of funds. And your funds can accelerate the development of a treatment for one of these serious, over 600 brain diseases.
As we wrap up, Merritt, what are the things that you want to be sure people remember about brain health, about clinical trials, or about ALS?
I'd love people to remember how important brain health is, and how we need to understand more and more about how to keep one's brain healthy. If we can just delay, for example, Alzheimer's 5 years, that would be transformational for people. We have to have the funds and the research to understand how to keep your brain healthy. I want people to realize that we are at a major inflection point for brain diseases, where we're going to get these treatments, like the one I mentioned for spinal muscular atrophy, where we're going to get cures for brain diseases we thought that was never possible for. That's all going to happen in the next couple of years to 10 years, and we can speed that up through philanthropy. And then for ALS, I think there's huge hope. As we really have a global effort to develop treatments, and we've seen that it's actually possible to stop this illness, at least in one form of it, and now we have to figure it out for the other forms.
That is really interesting. It's also inspiring. So, thank you for your inspiration this morning. I think that you have demystified a lot of things, and I know you've given me hope. So, thank you, thank you, thank you for being a hope spreader this morning. Stay well,
Thank
and
you.
thank you again for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichel Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.